So we begin now part 23 of our Tefillah V'Ahad series. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll be learning tonight the 11th and the 12th brachas of Tefillah, Hoshiva Shefteinu, and then V'lam Malshinu. Hoshiva Shefteinu Kevor Rishono is a follow-up bracha to the preceding one, Taka B'Shefa. We have just davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring back all of Klal Yisrael, Me'al Rakam Feis Ha'aretz, following which, the Gemara in Megillah tells us, the obvious follow-on is that Hoshiva Shefteinu Kevor Rishono. Why indeed is that a follow-on? The answer is, as we explained last time, as long as we are in Golus, essentially we are Avodim. Avodim doesn't necessarily mean we're in physical servitude, we're working, labor. Rather, as we explained last week, we are subservient, we are meshubert to the Hashkofas and the ideology and the culture of the surrounding Goyim. And that's why we davened in the previous bracha, we should become free people, because at the moment we're not free people. Rather, we are very much influenced by the surrounding culture and the values of the Goyim. Once Klal Yisrael are brought back together and there's a Geula, then we become, as it were, subservient now, not to the culture of the Goyim, but rather we have our own dominion. This does not mean, obviously, just in a political sense, that we are now in charge of our own political destiny, but rather it means we are now governed totally by the laws of the Torah, by the hashkofas of the Torah, by the values of the Torah, and it is the way of the Torah that completely directs our way of living, which is not the case as long as we are in Golos. And that is therefore the juxtapositioning between these two brachas. Having davened to Kaaba Shefer Godo Lecheiruseinu, we should be freed of the culture of the Goyim. The next bracha is Hoshiva Shefteinu Kvari Shoina. Bring back our judges. Let our system be governed in every which way by the Mishpatei HaTorah. How relevant this is in very current times. Even as we speak, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, it has become, unfortunately, very evident that even the way, for example, that the coronavirus has been addressed has not been, in the main, in the country, Al Pi Das Torah. There are political considerations, there are social considerations, but not necessarily halachic considerations. So the fact that, Rahmana Litzlan, we have seen more regulations and restrictions on shuls than we have on gymnasiums represents the fact that we're in Golos. And we don't have Hoshiva Shefteinu Kevor Rishono. The system that we are all avodim to, unfortunately, is not a system which is governed and dictated by the Mishpatei HaTorah. There are other considerations, political and otherwise. This is just an example of what we're experiencing now, and this is all part of the Golos. So we dive into our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hoshiva Shefteinu Kevor Rishono. Let our Shefteim be once again restored like at first. V'yoyatzeinu kebatchilo, and our advisors like in the beginning. What does that mean? Who are our Shefteim? And who are our yoyetzim? The governors, the judges, and also the advisors. So interestingly, the Medrash, this is a Medrash actually in Eicha, and the Medrash says as follows. This whole bracha is essentially based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, V'oshiva sheiftayich kebarishoino, v'yoyatzayich kebatchila. Almost the same words as our tefillah over here. And the Medrash says, V'oshiva sheiftayich, who are these sheiftim? Eilu Moshe v'Aharoi. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKoyim. And who are the Yoyatzim? They are David v'Shloimo. what was the difference in role between Moshe and Aharon and David and Shlomo? Moshe and Aharon, their roles in Klal Yisrael as leaders were to be the transmitters of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu received it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and passed it on to Aaron. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, of course, their whole life is governed by Torah because they were the ones who actually received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David v'Shlomo, as kings of Klal Yisrael, had a different role to play. Their role was not one necessarily of transmitting Torah. They were the kings. They're in charge of running the Melucha, taking care of the needs of Klal Yisrael. But the common denominator, of course, is that even a melech in Klal Yisrael, as we know from the parasha in Parasha Shoftim, a melech always walks around with a Sefer Torah. He must always carry a Sefer Torah. So therefore the common denominator, therefore, between Moshe and Aaron and David and Shlomo is, of course, that they are completely governed by Torah. Moshe and Aaron being the transmitters of Torah, and David and Shlomo being the kings, but also dictated to by the Torah, and that's why they always carry round the Torah with them. That's what we're davening for in this bracha. We should once again have a restoration of a system in which the leaders are governed by Torah values, because at the moment we do not have that. Obviously we have our Rabbonim, our Dayonim, our Gedolei Yisrael, but as we mentioned again last week, we cannot be oblivious to the fact that even though we have them, but we're not non-influenced by the surrounding culture, which is governed by values other than Torah values. And that's what we're governing for in this bracha. After the Kabbetz Nidochenu in the last bracha, when there will be a Geula, we ask that we should be restored once again to the system in which the Shoftim, the Yoyatzim, the leaders, everybody running our lives are governed by Torah and by Torah values only. What will happen when indeed that will occur? V'hoser mimenu yogoin v'anocha. And we will have removed from us all type of pain and anguish. Why will that happen? So, one way of explaining, and in fact the Abu Dram explains this way. The Abu Dram quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Choftes says, Ubimashoil Rosha, as long as the Rosha is leading, is ruling, Ye Onach Om, the nation will grow. If there is wicked leadership, the nation will be in pain. The opposite, therefore, is if we daven that our leaders should not be Roshoim, to the contrary, should be Tzadikim, then there will not be pain, there will not be anguish. And on a simple level, this of course refers to spiritual pain. Again, let's make this very real. As we see here in our country, major political decisions taken, Shalai al-Fidas Teira, that brings us anguish. Only very recently, major construction on a railway that was taking place on Shabbos, week in and week out, because it was decided by those in charge that it had to be done on Shabbos. That brings about terrific agmas nefesh, pain and anguish for us. Why? Because those taking the decisions did not have a Sefer Torah with them, didn't take the Torah values into consideration. When there have been politicians who have decided the way that our yeshivas should look, who gets conscripted into the army? Who is worthy of learning in a yeshiva? Are these decisions to be taken by politicians whose agenda has nothing to do with the Torah? That brings about agmas nefesh, terrible spiritual anguish on our part. And that's what we're davening for in this bracha. If only we have our shoftim and our leaders restored, then Vahoster Mimenu Yoga in Banocha, so much of our Agmas Nefesh will be removed. There is, however, another way that this could be understood. The Torah is a set of values that makes us understand what it is in life that is important and what it is in life that's not important. So much anguish, pain, depression, sadness is brought about because people are disappointed, people are upset, people are angry at petty things, at things that are not important. And this goes hand in hand with not living a Torah lifestyle. If money and gashmis becomes the focus of our lives, then the less of it we have, the bigger our expectations, and they become non-realized, then the more we are filled with yogoin v'anocha. The Torah is the blueprint for a content and wholesome life. It teaches us what is it that we should be placing the emphasis on, what is it that's important in life, and what is it that's not important in life. I've mentioned many times in other forums the moshul that I once heard from one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Gateshead, Reb Chaim Kaufman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in the Yeshiva Katana in Gateshead, who was Mr. Young, tragically. Reb Chaim Kaufman once gave the following wonderful moshul, and I'm sure you've heard this from me before. He described the cultured and educated professor taking a boat ride with the uncultured and uneducated farmer. The two of them, an unlikely couple, an unlikely pair, sailing merrily down the river. And all of a sudden, the professor turns round to his friend, the farmer, and he says to him, "Wow, look at that." And he looks, and he says, "I don't really see anything besides for a house. Is that what you're pointing out to me?" The professor says, "A house? You call that a house? Look at the architecture. Look at all the intricate buildings and the way it's been designed. Have you got no appreciation for architecture?" He says, "No, not really." "Well," says the professor, "if that's the case, I'm afraid to tell you that that's 10% of your life gone." All right, at least there's 90% left. They continue sailing down the river, and once again, the professor says, "Wow, listen to that. What do you hear?" The farmer says, "What do I hear? I hear some sort of noise in the background." "Noise? You call that noise? That's a classical symphony being played, an enormous orchestra, the most talented musicians in the world. You call that a noise? Don't you have any appreciation for classical music?" "No, not really. It sounds like a noise to me." "Well," says the professor, "if you have no appreciation for classical music, I'm afraid to tell you that's another 10% of your life gone. You're down to 80. And again, this continues a third time. He says, "Wow, what do you see over there?" He says, "What do I see? Looks like a tree to me." "A tree? That's an extremely rare plant. Very, very hard to come by. Do you have no appreciation for these types of things, for botany?" "No, not really. It looks like a tree to me." "Well, that's another 10% of your life gone." And this goes on and on and on. All of a sudden, there's a huge current in the river, and their whole boat becomes overturned. The strong, muscular farmer is not perturbed. He swims safely to the shore, and he's safe and well. And he looks at the professor, and the professor there in his jacket and tie is flailing and flapping and waving, "Help, help, save me." So the farmer shouts out to him, "What do you mean save me? Just swim to safety and you'll be fine." And the professor says, "I can't, I don't know how to swim." So the farmer yells to him and says, "Well, if you don't know how to swim, that's 100% of your life gone." It's all important and all very nice to appreciate architecture and classical music and botany, but if you don't know how to save your life, then you clearly have a misguided idea of what's important and what's not important in life. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimko Yidomei, the great Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, was once visited by a childhood friend. In walks this successful businessman, and he says to Rabbi Chanan, do you remember me? We used to learn together, we were in the same cheder, in fact we sat on the same bench. Yes, I remember you. And he says to Rabbi Chanan, he looks around at Rabbi Chanan's house, if you could call it that, a little hovel with broken furniture, and he says to Rabbi Chanan, tell me, what happened to you? I always thought you'd be successful. I remember you in school, you had a good cop, you were smart. I've become matzliach, I invested my energy in business and other investments, and I've become highly successful. I always thought that you'd become successful too. What's happened to you? Why did you not also invest your efforts in the same way as I did? And Rabbi Chanan didn't answer. The guest was taken aback. It came time for the guest to leave, and Rabbi Chanan accompanies him. He walks him to the local train station. He was going to take a train out of town. And he's just about to aboard the train. And Rabbi Chanan says to him, why would you want to get on that train? I just looked at the train that you were about to get onto. It's old, dilapidated, dark. The seats are not that comfortable. I just saw on the opposite platform is a brand new train. Very fresh, new seats, clean, wonderful, more comfortable. If I were you, I would take that train. He looks at Rabbi Chanan incredulously and says, well, why would I want to take that train? It doesn't take me to the destination I'm trying to arrive at. Said Rabbi Chanan, that's the answer to your question as well. Of course I could have invested my money and invested my energy and my time in advancing my business career, but that doesn't take me to the destination I'm trying to arrive at. What's important in life and what's not important. Rabbi Chanan had a Torah value of what was important in life, unlike his visitor, unlike our farmer friend in the Moshe. And that's what this bracha is telling us as well. If Hashiva Shoftenu Kibarishoina, if Torah values are restored once again, then V'hoser Mimenu Yogoin V'anocha, then so much anguish, so much disappointment and pain will necessarily be removed. Because the Torah gives us a values of life. What's important and what's not important. What's petty and what's significant. And when we don't have a clear picture of where we should be investing our time and our energy and our efforts, that's what brings about disappointment. Yogoin va'anocha. We finish the bracha and we say, "Umloi cholenu ato Hashem levadcha." By adhering to Torah values, that of course is a manifestation, a strengthening of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is expressed through the Torah. People who live their lives al pi Torah values are strengthening the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the essence of this very significant prophet. We move to the 12th bracha of Shmoneh Esra, V'la Malshinim. Now, as we well know, V'la Malshinim was a later addition. Even though we call our davening the Shmoneh Esra, 18 brachas, but actually there are 19 in total. Why so? So the Gemara in Brachas tells us that initially, in front of Rabban Gamliel, came along Shimon HaPakoli, and he organized the series of 18 brachas. This took place in Yavne. Rabban Gamliel said to the Chachomim, is there anybody who knows how to be mesakein a 19th bracha? He called it the Birkas Haminim, the bracha of the Apikorsim. Omad Shmuel HaKotam, Shmuel the Minor, Why was he called that? The Yerushalmi tells us because he was a tremendous onov. Maktin atzmoi. He made himself minor. Of course, he was of enormous stature. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that on one occasion the Tanoim were sitting in Yavne, and there was a bas koel, a heavenly voice that emerged min hashomayim, and it said, there is one person over here who is worthy of having the Shekhinah residing with him. And all of the Chachomim present all turned their eyes to Shmuel HaKotev. So we're clearly talking about somebody of immense stature. The Gemara tells us he was a Talmud of Hillel. The very fact that even Rabbi Gamliel, as great as he was, asked the question, who is able to compose this bracha on our behalf, reinforces what we all know, that every single bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei is not just poetic license and a turn of phrase, but rather was written al pi ruach hakodesh mamash, every word. And therefore they needed to find the right person. Who is the one who is worthy, not just because he's a tzaddik, but he's able to connect with the ruach hakodesh necessary to compose the brocha neged the malshinim. Shmuel HaKotan himself is mentioned in the Mishnah in Ovis, and there is a quite remarkable parallel. Where is Shmuel HaKotan mentioned? You'll find his name in Perek Dalet, and it says there, Shmuel HaKotan Oimer, Binfoil Oivecho Al Tismach, with the fall of your enemy, do not rejoice. Why is that a remarkable parallel? Because it is precisely Shmuel HaKotan whose whole life mantra was not to rejoice at the falling of your oivim, of your enemies, and here he is composing the bracha neged your oivim. So what does this teach us? Isn't that an inherent contradiction? If Shmuel HaKotan teaches us do not rejoice at the downfall of your enemy, so why is he composing the bracha against your enemy? And clearly there is no contradiction whatsoever. This was not a personal issue. Shmuel HaKotan was not asked to compose the bracha to rejoice in the downfall of the enemy, rather in the downfall of wickedness, but not of wicked people. And that's why, to the contrary, he was the one who was most appropriate that he could compose this bracha. Because anybody else would have to perhaps be suspicious, does he have another agenda at heart? But not Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan, who preached, Binfoilei Vecho Al Tismach, he was the one that we can invest confidence in. When he composes a bracha against the enemies, he only has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod in mind. No other cheshbon at all. Clearly the continuation between this bracha and the previous bracha is, in the previous bracha we davened Hoshiva Sheifteinu Kvarishoino. Once again our Torah system, values of Torah should be restored. The obvious follow-up is of course, therefore, that those who are negating, those who are fighting against the Torah system, should have no Hatzlocha. That's obviously two halves of one coin. And again, how painfully relevant this is in our very country. Here in Eretz Yisrael, when we hear so often by politicians and other leaders who are doing their utmost to fight Torah values, to ensure that there is less Torah learned, to ensure that children do not connect to Torah and mitzvahs, then this bracha becomes very real and very relevant. V'lamalshinim al tiisikva. V'lamalshinim specifically refers to those who report slander to the authorities. And we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should have no hope. And how much we have suffered from them over the course of the generations. The Chasam Sofer, in the times of the Chasam Sofer, as we know, the Chasam Sofer spent his life battling against the reform. The great yeshiva, the Pressburg yeshiva, which the Chassam Sofer of course headed, there was a group of four Malshinim, and they reported the Chassam Sofer and his yeshiva to the government, and the government made it very difficult for his yeshiva. And incredibly, three out of these four died untimely and very strange deaths. That's what happens if you start up with a Chassam Sofer. The fourth one, as you can imagine, was frightened for his life. So he ran out. He escaped. He left the country. And he sent a telegram to the Chassam Sofer begging him. He says, "Please, I'm so worried for my life. Please daven for me." And the Chassam Sofer wrote back a telegram, "Believe you me, I daven for you every day. It's the bracha of Olam Malshinim. I have you in mind every day of my life." And indeed, as it's reported, he too died a very peculiar and untimely death a short time afterwards. V'chol oivei amcha, the enemies of your nation, as we've pointed out in the past, the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation are ultimately the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They bring about a Chilul Hashem. So we are not davening again that these particular people should Chas V'Shalom necessarily die, rather their wickedness should be unsuccessful. V'Hazeidim, we mentioned the end of the bracha. Zeidim are those who are over Averis B'mezid. It's so important to point out, as we just have, that we are not davening that these people should drop dead, but rather that their evil intentions, their plans to undermine Torah, to undermine Kiddush Hashem, they should not be successful. But to the contrary, they themselves, we hope and we daven, that they should be chayzer b'tshuva shleima. It is only their rishus that we daven at yeshover, yimager, yichores. That's what we are davening, that it is their evil intentions, their non-Torah agenda, which should have no success. I heard recently that Rav Volbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said almost every irreligious person here in Eretz Yisrael is essentially on the brink of doing tshuva. They need to be encouraged, except perhaps the politicians, because that's their whole business, that's their whole life, to fight against Torah, that's what they're paid for. But essentially there are so many of Achenu Beis Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael, and of course in the rest of the world, who are only an inch away of being chayzer b'tshuva shleima. We never daven chas v'shalom that they shouldn't do so. To the contrary, if they have agendas against the Torah, then we daven with all our might that they should not be matzliach, that they themselves, we hope that they will all be chayzer b'tshuva shleima, and that will be'ezus Hashem happen in the time of the Geula. May indeed be b'mheira yameinu. Amen.